Brother Daniel Rivolo will be preaching tonight. He's doing a phenomenal job as our assistant pastoral intern this summer. Just doing a great job filling in exactly where we need help. And he's been a great blessing in so many different areas and ways. And we're thankful for him and his wife, Hannah. She's been a big encouragement to our ladies and the children. And it's nice also to meet Ezekiel and be able to have more prolonged conversations with him. He's here for 2 weeks from Spain. We're looking forward to him. Maybe you can share a testimony tonight of what the Lord's doing in Europe. Maybe as you see the needs that are there, kind of do a mission report for us. That would be great. And tell us what the needs are so we can better pray for Spain and other countries for a good, solid Bible-believing churches there as they bring forth the Word. And then, 2 weeks, we have our second quarter church business meeting, so we ask all members to bring a food item or drink or side item to share with that time as we eat lunch and then have our meeting. We praise the Lord for the great decisions that have been made these last 2 weeks in vacation Bible time as well as camp, and we're looking forward to just all that God is continuing to do this summer. And if you need anything in the next 2 weeks while I'm gone, Deacon Hodge and anyone else in the church, you can call them. Their numbers are in the insert page of the bulletin. All right, are there any other announcements that need to be mentioned? Yes, Karen.
Carol doesn't know it yet, but she's going to California from July 31st to August 5th.
Okay.
So when you discuss choir stuff,
keep that in mind.
Yeah, she won't know until Saturday.
Oh, wonderful. Good. There you go. So she has to go. That's good.
Yeah. And Mary Charm don't know yet either.
Okay. Wonderful. Wonderful. Okay. So let's pray for Carol and all those and those plans. She's going to see her spiritual parents that led her to the Lord when she was 29, and so they're not doing well physically. So now's the time to go. So let's pray for Charlie and Mary Nielsen. They were missionaries to Japan over the years and are now retired, living in California with their son. All right, at this time we'll ask our ushers to come as we give to the Lord this evening of our tithes and offerings to God. The blessing to be able to give back to God a portion of that which He has given to us. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. So God promises His riches to meet our needs here on earth as we give to His local churches. Let us bow together in prayer.
Our Father God, we know that Your riches more than satisfy any need that we would have here.
Amen.
Because what we're trying to accomplish for You is far beyond anything we could dream of ourselves.
Amen.
We just ask, Lord, that as we seek that larger and larger footprint in this community and in by reputation around various places, we just ask, Lord, that You would bless that with the corresponding support that is needed to carry out the programs that we're involved in.
Amen.
We just ask, Lord, that You would continue to give the comfort of Your provision, that we might never really fall into the sin of worrying if there's going to be enough to pay a various set of bills. And we know that the costs are going to continue going up because what we're doing for You is increasing. We just ask that You would continue to keep this ministry well supplied and that You
Amen.
Would cause us to be able to be Your anointed ones as we carry this work forward. Just pray, Lord, You would continue to guide and direct. And as always, we ask You to suit a blessing to each gift as well as to each giver as we seek Your face in the manner of our giving. In Christ's name we ask it. Amen.
Amen.
Let us turn to page 42 in the little book I gave you, the Kairos books, page 42. And the bottom song, I have decided to follow Jesus. Ready? I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. No turning back, no turning. Let's sing the last chorus. And all my life now is for His glory. And all my life now is for His glory. And all my life now is for His glory. No turning back, no turning back. Amen. We would like to change right now to open for testimonies. Anyone who have experienced a blessing in the past week or even today, and you'd like to share a testimony, we'd love to hear you. Go right ahead.
Mm-hmm. And my dad has been a real blessing, and now that we have it done, it should be great.
Praise the Lord. Thank God for that, you complete that. Anyone else? Have a blessing. I know a lot of people was out at camp in the past week, and we can love to hear some of those events that took place last week. Any campers would like to share? Go ahead, Julie. Amen. Great. Some truths about the Christian life. Everyday life we can apply to daily activities. Are you putting your hand up, Pastor Rice?
Yes, we have to get the missions report from Brother Ezekiel.
Okay, will you let me switch easily from that to this? To him? I can, easily. If you don't have any fix, push them that they have to go in that direction. Well, Brother Ezekiel, come on over.
Sure.
And share with us.
Okay. Hello, church, once again. A mission report. What can we say about a mission report? Maybe give you a little bit of an idea of what's going on in Europe. I don't think it would be the biggest surprise in the world to say that in a lot of ways it's very similar to what's happening here in America, in the sense of the main part of the culture, no idea God is there. I guess that's the main train of thought. What do I mean by this? We were talking about it over lunch and dinner at Andy's house this afternoon. How we're seeing in the last times, maybe around the last 10 years, the world taking a very sharp turn into things that God's Word stands firmly against. What am I talking about? Liberty to sin in every way possible, and that being seen as good, and that being seen as love, right? And acceptance. I'm talking about homosexuality. I'm talking about abortion. I'm talking about all the types of sins that you can think of. what I've been seeing in Europe is that there is no care for what God thinks. And as a difference to, in difference to maybe there being still in America a big portion of people that are Christian, that are trying to hold fast God's word and saying, hey, life, even though you haven't been born yet, is not good to kill it. Life is good. That's basic Christianity, right? Life is good. In Europe, I think maybe it might be a little one step further, I guess, in worldliness and in these sense. So the other thing that is a little bit worrying is church in Europe, which probably, like here, you have, well, what I've seen, very few churches in Europe, in Germany, where I've been at the last 3 years, few churches that are faithful to the Lord, as maybe we would say it. The majority of the churches that I have seen are super ultra traditional in the sense of religiousness. What do I mean by this? It looks almost like Catholic Church with rituals and following a diversity of different set of laws and few hearts alive in many churches. And then the exact opposite, the new generations of the sons and daughters of these people running to charismatic churches and to churches that allow that you do whatever you want. So, worrying thought for Europe, maybe it sounds like that, but nevertheless, just like here, just like in every place, I see that God has a people. Even in churches that are super ultra-religious with rituals and whatnot, God still has a people there. Even in churches that are going into a more modern direction, okay, very, very worrying. We were just talking about them with Pastor Rice. Very worrying what it can lead to. God has a people everywhere, but there are fewer and fewer churches. So, as a mission report, I would say, let's pray particularly, that the Lord will maybe re-evangelize Europe. The sweetie's crying. It's fine. I think the main thing that Europe needs is a re-evangelization. What has happened before, 200 years ago, they were sending missionaries all around the world. And America has done that the last 100 years or so, which has been great. But now, we need to send Americans back to Europe. We need to send South Americans to Europe. And re-evangelize, retell the gospel for the people only following rituals and for the people that have forgotten God's word. Nevertheless, I believe there is hope. Maybe it sounds a little tragic what I'm saying about Europe. There are many, many brothers in every country that you will visit. You can always find brothers that know and love the Lord, and as soon as you meet them, just like you guys, there's a relationship from moment one where you realize, oh, this guy that I'm talking to, he also has believed on the Lord, has the same spirit, and that is also very encouraging. But pray for, I guess, a good balance, not religiosity, not do whatever you want, but follow what's in the book, right, for Europe. Hopefully, me living now in Spain, not in Germany anymore, the idea is, I guess, to plant as many churches as possible in Spain that are trying to be faithful to God's word. That would be my desire for Spain, and I would ask that you pray for that, for biblical churches in Spain, and Germany, and England. The last week I was in London, and I was seeing every building of parliament and almost every big chain store with huge flags, the gay pride flags, right? Everywhere in London, everywhere you would look. We were with a group of six kids, you know, at the little summer camp, and they were all asking, what's going on? What is this? What's going on? And you don't know what to tell them because it's frightening which direction at least London has decided to go in. is very worrying for what God, how God might judge. Nevertheless, when it gets darker, I think that's the best time for light to shine brighter. It sounds like a nice piece of poetry, but it's true. When it gets darker, the candle shines a little brighter, and that's why we might have some trouble. But pray for the lights that are in Europe, pray for the lights that are all over the world, and obviously here in America as well. Yeah. Yeah.
Why don't you share what the Lord's putting on your heart, what you are sensing and thinking you?
Right. Oh. To be sincere, I really hope that God gives me a work to do, to be able to maybe start a faithful church in Valencia, which is where I'm living now. I'm not 100% sure on the plan. That's why I'm a little bit hesitant to share about it, because I might be first joining with the church and maybe helping them out. If we can't find a suitable one, then we might have to start one with my folks, like we've done before. We've done that in the past. And yeah, hopefully the Lord will give me and my family opportunities to serve and to share the gospel very concretely to the people of Valencia. Yeah, I guess that's it.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, so I guess prayer motives. Pray for my parents coming to Valencia where I am, and then we might be able to preach the gospel where we are. Yeah. And the second one is pray for the faithful Christians all around Europe. Yeah? Those two things. Okay, thank you.
Good evening. I just always carrying two Bibles, you know, because not because I am that spiritual or more spiritual. It's because I need in Spanish a Bible to help me out with my English. You know, your Bible it is you go with your eye and you say, okay, tack this. Even you know where by memory the places where to find the verse, but here in English you have to read it, and the verse you are looking is right in front of you, but you have to read the whole thing to find it. There is tuck. So I have it this, I feel more confident with a sword in my language. What I wanted to share with you, brethren, is this, what we have in the camp. I asked permission to Pastor Rice to share with you this. I had another message again, but I it was so intense, so wonderful what the Lord worked there. That is a pity you don't have the chance to hear about this wonderful camp. And as you can see, the theme was the army of the Lord. We were able to see with the kids a lot of things related to the army of the Lord. In the beginning, when we started, at least me, I thought, well, what a theme for little kids. It's like too much. And you feel a little, not discouraged, but how I will do this. And to see my name in the program, even more scared I was. With the songs we were singing, I must confess, this morning, you see, there was a verse that was really a tongue twister for me, with the music of Hallelujah, Hallelujah, and the second part, the breastplate of righteousness. I can barely say it in its regular speed. Imagine to say the breastplate of righteousness. I try. I was looking Pastor Rice's face and mouth, trying to follow. You know, the breastplate of righteousness. But with music, you have to go well. But it was really wonderful. I think that those we preach do it for many reasons. One of the main reasons is to see how people's faces are getting changed along the preachings. and that you can see on the kids. On Monday, a little bit less on Tuesday. For Friday, you can see they were following the preachings and not only paying attention, they are putting their hearts in what they are listening now. They want to know how the story ends. They want to know. So I want to share basic things that we share with them. The key verse was 1 Peter 5:8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Wow, what a combination of complicated words. Anyway, little kids were able to understand that. And Pastor Rice and Pastor Martin were explaining these words, to be sober, to be vigilant. Maybe the easy part, the roaring lion, but the rest explaining word by word. And I have the chance to share two preachings with the kids beside devotionals. The story we share was the famous David and Goliath. It was amazing to share with the kids that story, because I told the kids, and I'm sure now, being an adult, you will agree with me, that story has been with me along my life. We have faced many giants in our lives, and we have grabbed this story as our own story. The most important thing that I show on the story of David, many things, even I made a little slingshot that the kids were, wow, because I made with a piece of tape I found and make a slingshot, a soft ball to not hurt anyone. But the main thing that caught my attention in this reading, every time you read the story you find new things, is that David was always running. He was running to see his brothers. After that, he was running to get ready. And when he has to face Goliath, he was running. What a readiness of spirit he has. He was not what Ezekiel was saying about modern Christians. He was a traditional Christian spirit. Even he was not a Christian, but he has that spirit of readiness and being always with the disposition to follow God's commands. Even we know his personal failures, he had that spirit to repent and to be ready to run. And the other thing we share is that David not only has a ready heart, but he has that amazing discernment to see he is before Christ, he is from the Old Testament, he is from another dispensation. Anyway, he said, salvation belongs to the Lord. Amen. It's not the same spirit we have after the Messiah, 2,000 years later. We have that same spirit, the same vision. Yes, salvation belongs to the Lord. Nothing we can do. Lord, we need you. We need you to save us. The main story I want to share with you that it was the last preaching on Friday, we find it in Numbers 13. You will see as you look with me in Numbers 13, this story. Here we are. And it's a well-known story, but as again and again you read, you find again new teachings and blessings for our souls. This is the story of the spies that they have to report to Moses how was the land before they get into the land, before conquer the land, those spies had to report and say, okay, the land is this way, that way, the people is this way, that way. So we read in Numbers chapter 13, the second verse, the Lord, well, we can read 1-2. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, send thou men, that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers shall ye send a man, every one a ruler among them. And how they explaining to the kids how the Moses send these men to assess the land. But when they came back, you know the story, when they came back, what happened? They give a report, and they say in the verse 27, yeah, and they told him and said, we came unto the land where thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. And remember, they brought the big cluster of grapes. And the verse 28, it starts with the word which is nevertheless. And they say this, nevertheless, everything is okay, but nevertheless, the people that lives there is strong. So basically, they are saying, yes, everything is okay, but we cannot do it. Along the week, those who have been in camp with Pastor Martin, maybe you know the stories of Onion Inspector, which is something fictional that he checks the cabins and make a report of every cabin. He's so good. It's amazing. You have to record that and to see, because it's amazing how he catch the attention of kids. Well, it turns to be that this Onion Inspector start doing his report very good. The cabins are okay, the bunks are tight like a drum, and it's wonderful things. It smells so beautiful inside. And at the mid of the report, he always says, however. Well, the beginning of the kids, we are however. At the end of the week, when he reached that point of however, kids, we are however. It was a big choir. And pointing to the other team, however, you will get the onion. The onion was the prize for being the worst cabin in the whole camp. So I used that nevertheless and explained that was the however. Well, when I explained that, well, they were so happy. Pastor Rice was pumping the thing from however, however. See, he's so good with kids too. I have such a good time spiritually, and enjoy so much. Well, the point is this: the howevers we have in our lives for the Lord. The Lord is telling you and me, okay, if you repent, I will save you, and you repent, and He save you. And now we start with the first however in our life. Our human way is under the sin. That's why we need desperately the Lord. We need the Lord because we are sinners. And those things we have to kill, but they're still there, and the Lord has to start killing those things. He has to wrestle with us. And we start with the however. Okay, Lord, you saved me. However, I want to keep my life for me. And we taught the kids, no, we are in an army. We are called to be soldiers. We cannot keep our lives for ourselves. We cannot go to the Lord with this, however. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. However, I will be my own chief. I will be the captain of my soul, like I hear somewhere, that terrible thing. Captain of your soul. What an arrogance. The captain of your soul. with the time, we start yielding things to the Lord. But we start again with the however. Okay, Lord, I let you handle some things in my life. However, it's enough for me going to church on Sundays. And we know, and the Lord show us through the scripture, through the patience, pastors that preach to us, no, that's not an excuse. You cannot use that however for the Lord. You have to go and conquer that land. And the Lord start asking us to serve him at church, to be active members of our church. Not only to be a pastor is to be an active member of the church, but to be involved with the church, to be ready to be useful for the church, to be ready to ask the pastor, what can I help you with? Cherry trucks. Well, maybe I'm shy, but I will go with you and I walk behind you. At least it's encouraging for the pastor. And after that, the Lord is asking us to share another verses we saw in 2 Timothy, that the Lord give all this to us in order for us not only to save us, but to share with others, that we share the gospel. And I think that is another big however in our life. Yeah, Lord, I'm saved, I work in church, here inside, I help, but to talk to my co-worker, to my co-student, to my boss. I was preaching to Danny, that you see Danny there on the back, and he was my boss. Maybe it was not a good idea to preach him the first week I met him, but the Lord was wonderful plans for him, and he accepted the Lord. I was so amazed. I said, "Are you the best preacher, or the Lord is amazing?" I will take the second part, because it was like a knockout. Danny was the very next day amazed with the hymns I was singing at work. Sing more, sing more. I'm tired, Danny. I sing for 2 hours. No, but this is amazing, because he can understand Spanish, and I was singing in Spanish. This is so beautiful. He was in love with those hymns and with the words. So, nevertheless, my question is, brethren, do you think we will reach a point where the Lord never say that to the Lord? However, I think as human beings, as sinners that have been redeemed, we need to keep growing in this and stop giving excuses to the Lord.
Right.
Listen, even the little things, Brendan, I don't know if it happened to you, but you come to the church with a good intention, with a good heart, but a phone call from my home calls me and say, you have such a problem because... And it's not hard to focus in the preaching. And you can say, well, Lord, I'm here, but I cannot focus, you know. And we start with another excuse. I'm here, however, I cannot put my heart today because I'm too troubled today. Just the very fact of paying attention and put the heart in a preaching and following with the heart, knowing that it are not words coming for a poor man that barely speak English, but it comes from God because it comes from the scripture itself. Amazing that we have this privilege to have this. And I explain later to the kids that the Lord, at the same time, he has his however. You don't want to follow me. He start with his howevers. And he has strong howevers. And here, people, the whole nation, don't want to follow the Moses. Actually, they want to stone poor Moses. They want to stone Moses. Can you imagine a man leading them? Imagine like a pastor, like a leader, leading, and okay, imagine pastor right now, and we need to go through here. So he prays, and the ocean is split in two. Wow, we follow that pastor. But this guys, they want to stone Moses. No, no, you want to send us to fight with giants. Okay, let's come back to Egypt. You start making plans. Let's make a captain so the captain can take us back to Egypt. Nevertheless, however, the Lord had two men that had a good report. And Joshua and Caleb, they say, no, let's go and take the land. And you see how I don't say, let's not the word funny, but how it's almost funny, because the way Caleb and Joshua, they say the report, no, let's go take the land. There's no too much explanation. We have to do it. That's it. And after that, they say, if the Lord is with us, we will do it, and the Lord will help us. But you see the how don't even pay attention to the situation of giants. For Joshua and Caleb, really, they don't care. Their hearts were so attached to the Lord, knowing that the Lord controls everything, that He is strong, and that if He wants, He will do the impossible task. And the most amazing thing was to share this with kids, and they get hooked, waiting how the story ends. It's not amazing. Pastor, you see it again and again and again the same, and then again the same. The Lord working on souls. It is really amazing. Well, we share that at the end of the story, how the Lord was displeased on the nation, and how they had to die in the desert. They were, that generation was not able to go into the promised land. That generation has to stay there. Only their kids would be able to go to the promised land, because they say one however in the face of the Lord. They saw the miracles. They saw the things that the Lord had made. We said to the kids, we are in an army. Once you say, I repent of my sins, I repent, Lord, forgive me, I accept you as my Savior, that day you are saved. But that day, you are enrolled in an army. You like it or not, that's it. You are in the army. Now to fight. But according to the laws of war, I was looking good that later, because I mentioned on the camp, but I looked for that. I think it was Genesis 20 or Deuteronomy 20, but was saying that the captain of Israel, according to the laws of war, he has to ask to the people questions. So, an army here, an army there, the enemy, and the captains, the officials, they have to ask questions to the people of Israel. And what they have to ask? Have you make a new house? Okay, go back. Use your new house. Maybe you can die in battle, so it's better you go back. The Lord show mercy. But at the end, when they finish, if you marry, okay, go back. They have to ask the verse 8. Let me read it. And the officers shall speak further, second time, unto the people, and they shall say, what man is there that is fearful and faint-hearted? Let him go and return unto his house, lest his brethren's heart faint as well as his heart. You understand? It was touching my heart, because as I read this, so he's saying, okay, you are afraid, you have too many howevers, go back home. You won't lose your salvation. This Israelite will continue being an Israelite. You will You don't lose your salvation, but you lose the chance to fight in my army. What a chance to fight in the army of the Lord. Just basic things, brethren, that that we miss, that we try to dodge the ball. Nowadays, what Ezekiel was sharing, people don't even want to be member of a church. Did I go here? I have so many howevers. You are afraid? Are you afraid? Okay, go home. This is the Lord speaking to his people. Can you imagine? Okay, Lord, I am afraid. Okay, go home. Can you imagine that? You won't lose your salvation. You're saved. But you miss the chance to fight for me, to be useful in my army. Pastor Rice was there with 6 kids. I never saw that. And 2 dogs. I never saw such a thing. It would be easier to be at home. Kids, wife. But the whole family was there. It's not that comfortable. But let's try. I would rather the camp would be in Spanish. I would feel such marca. But I was ashamed so many times, like when I make mistakes with the tenses of the or a word that I miss. I am ashamed. It's not easy to be in front of people and you need more words and you are like you feel weird. But can I put however to the Lord? We are tired. Maybe it's too hot. We came in the morning. Can we put a however to the Lord? I'm tired. We are here. We try to not give this however to the Lord. Lord, you know I'm so tired. But for other things, we are not. We have our heart ready. So, brethren, it was such a blessing to share this with the kids, that at the end of the week I saw many changes in their faces, which is changes in their hearts. I saw that, and I'm so glad that the Pastor Rice and Pastor Martin invited me, because we sometimes say, well, we are talking to kids, we are talking to in 10 years men or women, in 10 years workers of the Lord or potential workers of the Lord. They are there, just so close. We think, I was thinking, when my son grow up, left 3 years ago, 4 years ago, he left the house. So it comes quick. So it's a privilege to shape that generation. And I share with them, finishing, I share with them one thought that the Lord brought to my heart. And you know that in the army, the people, those that are in the army, the soldiers, they call themselves brothers. But you know when that brotherhood is really strong and real among them, is once they go to battle. When they are in the army making exercises, we are friends. Once they are in battle, they are brothers. They are brothers in arms. It's not what we are if we decide to put our heart towards the Lord, surrender our life, not only to be conformed to the Lord is my Savior and I do my whatever I want in my life. The pastor said this morning some people use Jesus as a fire insurance. I don't get fire. I don't go to the fire. Jesus is not only that. He's our master. Imagine to fight for a general, for a commander-in-chief, that at the same time that commander-in-chief is your father. That commander-in-chief actually saved my life. That commander-in-chief actually is my friend, my personal friend. Would you like to go to fight for that commander-in-chief? Yes, I want. I know. And if the Lord touch your heart, you will too. So if you decide to do that, you are my brother in arms. May the Lord bless us. Thank you for being kind with me, inviting me, being patient. Every church has its different ways of doing things. So thank you for being patient. Little things, different things in culture, country to country, church to church. So thank you for being patient and inviting me. May the Lord bless us. I will ask Pastor Rice, if you please want to close with a prayer.
Why don't you close the prayer?
Yeah, your brother. Okay. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you because we have the chance to listen to your voice through the scripture, reading verses that lead us in our Christian life. Heavenly Father, forgive our sins, forgive every time we put excuses in our lives, and to live half your way and half our way. Help us, O Lord, to please you. Help us to be soldiers in your army, to be ready to do what you ask from us. Heavenly Father, thank you for many blessings you have given us in the last week in the BBT and now in the camp, for everything you has worked in the hearts of the kids and in our hearts. The counselors, we are so blessed too, and the pastors and those that have the chance to share your word. And oh Lord, thank you for everyone that is able to listen to your word even through a poor man like me trying to speak a foreign language. Thank you, Lord, for so... You are so merciful, so patient, so loving to us. We want to bless your holy name. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen. Let's turn in our hymn book that we sing our invitation hymn, Have Thine Own Way, Lord, Have Thine Own Way, 816. Book 816, and would we sing this tonight as a prayer to God? It is really written as a prayer, not to be sung to each other, not to be sung to look how impressive we are, or I am, or so and so is, but it's a prayer to God. Let us all stand together as we sing this song as a prayer to God. And someone said we lie more in singing the hymns than in any other time, but let it not be a lie from our lips, let it be true from our hearts, that Lord, we are willing to give Him anything, have His own way in our hearts and lives. But if you need to come for any reason, would you come as we sing? I'm going to ask Brother Dan to come and stand at the altar. If you want counsel from the Word of God, if you need to get baptized, if you want to join the church, would you come as we sing?
Yes, Brother Daniel Rivera, would you close us in prayer?
Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for once again the opportunity to come into your house, to hear from your word, to be guided with your instructions, Lord, to have communion with you, Lord, to be present with you, Lord, and to hear what you would have to apply to our hearts, Lord. And help us to remember this decision, Lord, that we made way back when we first came to know you, when we first came to receive that salvation you provided for us, Lord. Lord, it wasn't just, as Pastor put it, fire insurance, Lord, that you saved us from the fire, but also a call to be in your army, Lord, to have that high privilege to serve and to be called worthy of that calling, Lord, that we could be useful for you, Lord, that we could do the work that you would have us to do, that we could provide the service that you would have us to provide, Lord. Help us to remember that, Lord, and not to forget, and not to put a nevertheless in front of it, Lord, but to always have that open heart and that open desire to want to follow you and to not look for excuses and not look for obstacles and not be complacent. Lord, help us to return to that first love we had way back in the beginning.
Amen.
Lord, and to want to follow you with fire in our heart, Lord. Thank you for all your love and your mercy, and we thank you, Lord, that you are patient with us as well. That you continue to look for us, Lord, even though we may not look for you as much as we should. And we thank you, Lord, for that mercy. We are eternally grateful for that as well. We ask that you guide us and direct us as we leave in this evening. Help us to remain these words in our hearts throughout this week, Lord, and to remember them as well as we continue forward in our walk with you, Lord. Thank you for everything in Jesus' name.
Amen.
I'll be praying for your ministry to go well.
Hey, brother, thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Thank you.